Growing Up Baby with Haley Zimak.
Hi, and thanks for listening. It's arguably one of the most important things you'll do for your new babe. Give them the name they'll move through the world with for the rest of their life. So what's in a name, and how do you choose when there are just so many available? Steph Cofield is a content creator and baby name consultant. You can find her at Names with Steph. I've long watched her videos and marvel at the monikers she shares. From vintage to whimsical, moody to quirky, those inspired by colors, mythology, astronomy, and everything in between. She's got three kids of her own, so you know we had to start our chat there. What are their names and how did you decide to give those names to them?
My husband is from Scotland, so we knew we were going to raise our family in the U.S. And so we were kind of like, well, we really wanted something more Celtic or Gaelic or Scottish, something in that realm for that side of their heritage. And so our oldest is really reflective of that. His name is Ewan, spelled E-U-A-N. You might know Ewan McGregor as a more famous Ewan with a different spelling. But his name is Scottish and it means born of the yew tree. And that is a popular name in Scotland, but not here in America where we live. So that was also really connected for us. But it also is connected because my husband's name is Ian. This is kind of confusing, so I'm just going to gloss over it. But Ian is the Gaelic form of John, which is my father-in-law's name. And Ewan can be traced to a variation of Owen, spelled E-O-I-N. And a version of Owen spelled E-O-G-H-N, which gets anglicized to Eugene. And my dad's name is Gene, G-E-N-E. So essentially, yeah, our oldest, his name is reflective of his father and both grandparents.
I love that. So obviously when you're connecting the dots, so to speak, it's like you couldn't not go with that name, correct?
Yeah. Yes. It literally ties to all the three important men in his life. Right. And it was just perfect. And we loved it and it was great. But the only problem was, and this was before I was a name consultant, I was like, this is so great. Cause for me, I really like when names have a special story and a meaning behind them. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, well, what if we have another son? Well, sure enough, our second kid is a son. So, I was like, well, how are we going to make this name just as special as Ewan? And so that was the trouble there. But my husband one night, he is not super into names. So like, it's so fun for me because I get to talk about names all the time and he doesn't have to.
But you can talk to it with your other 200 and something, 300,000 followers and friends, right?
I get to be in that realm and he doesn't care. And he gets to not be in it. And one night he was like, what about Fit? And I said, oh my gosh, I love that so much. It's quirky. You know, the uncommon letters are popular with that Z at the end, you know, and then I looked it up, right? Now Fitz is usually at the beginning of like Fitzwilliam or Fitzpatrick.
Okay. I've heard of Fitzgerald, but as a last name, is that also, so it normally is the prefix, would that be for a first name? Okay.
Yes, exactly. So, and it simply means son of. So it's son of William, son of Gerald, son of Patrick. And so what we did is we took, just because I loved that it was four letters, just like my husband. My husband's version of Ian is I-A-I-N. Yeah. So we have Ewan, E-U-A-N, and then Fitz doesn't have as many vowels, but it's still a four letter name. And it means son of. And so what we did is both of my boys have my maiden name as their middle name. So essentially Fitz is son of my family name and then my husband's family name. So,
oh, I love it.
So somehow we figured out another perfect boy name. So it was good. And then we decided to have a third kid after a lot of talking. A lot. Okay.
And were you like, please be a girl, please be a girl, because we burned through all our boy names.
I kind of thought this would be so much easier, but I knew we actually didn't find out with our third. So this was the first time we went not knowing. So we had to go into the birth with a list for boys and girls, or masculine and feminine names, we'll say. And I really wanted a G name if we had a third boy, because I didn't realize I'd done EF. And so I thought EFG would be so cute. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't find a G name that I just loved. So our third boy name was actually going to be Quill, Q-U-I-L-L.
Oh, I've never heard that.
Yeah. And I don't know, Quill Cofield, it's a little bit of a tongue twister. I don't know if I would have actually chosen it, but it was one of our top contenders. But for our girl, my husband, randomly, he was like, he plays video games and he likes this game, Ori and the Blind Forest. And Ori is the cutest little nickname. So he's like, what about the name Ori? And I said, I love it, but it needs a longer version for a little girl.
So Aurora, maybe?
Well, it's O-R-I.
Okay.
So Aurora would have been, yes, Aurora is so popular right now. It's a gorgeous name. And it has the same meaning as the name we went with. So our daughter's name is Oriana, O-R-I-A-N-N-A. So most of the time online, you'll find it with one N, but I really liked the double letter. And we considered like Orietta, Oriel, all these different types, but it does mean golden dawn, which is Aurora means dawn as well. And it's just such a really, it's a significant name for like the new chapter of having a daughter and our last baby and just like that point in our life. So it's perfect.
I absolutely love your names. I love the rationale behind them because that is so, when we were having our little guy, so I had a million female names picked out, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're so easy, right? They're beautiful. They roll off the tongue. I really like things with vowels and kind of, you know, that ethereal. And then it's like, now pick a boy name. And so we really struggled. So Steph, what makes a good name? And is there subjectivity in that? Maybe, yes, you want to pay tribute to a family connection, or you want it to be a certain, you know, amount of vowels or syllables, or, you know, it has to fit with sibling names. Like, what makes a good name?
My main thing for a good name is what I would say is that it has to be one that you love and that's special to you. That's like top priority. You don't have to have an elaborate backstory like mine, but I do think even if it's, we heard that name when we were on a vacation and we just love it, or it's back in our family tree, whatever it is, it's really, it makes it more special for your child too. When you can say, this is how you were named. Everybody loves to know how their names were chosen, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's from a TV show or whatever it is. Yeah, the subjective part comes in when you look at the syllables and vowel sounds. Like my preference is I do love like three syllables with a one syllable middle name, or two and two. And there are certain variations that I think sound better than others, but it is subjective. You know what I mean? Like what makes a good name, flow is important. So, you know, that the way it all sounds together. And, you know, I don't personally like it when someone does like a Y ending first name with a Y ending last name. Mm-hmm. They both have that E sound at the end, you know, like Perry Whitney. You know, it just sounds too redundant to me. So
and what about a name that can grow with the child, or even something if you think about them getting into the job market? It's like, okay, is this a name that, you know, maybe is genderless or timeless? Like, should we be thinking about those things as well? You know, in addition to everything else you think about when you're welcoming a child into the world.
I honestly don't think long term like that because of name trends and because of like, I know that's a big popular question I get in a lot of videos about it. What about going to a job interview, or what about if they want to run for office someday? And in my head, I just think it makes you a stronger person. Like my kids love their names, that they're kind of unique in school and that there's no one else with that name. And I think it kind of builds character. We are in an age where everybody wants their kid to kind of stand out and be unique and have this, you know, something about them that's special. And I think it's a lovely thing. So for me, I know that a lot of people are like, well, I can't picture a Gertrude baby. But then again, you know, but then they're like, well, I can't picture Poppy as a, you know, a president of a company. To me, I can picture it all. I can picture it all. And if, you know, if you look back in time and you look at older names, there are bizarre, uncommon names everywhere. So I just don't think it matters too much.
No, fair enough. Pick what you love. So my grandma's name was Gertrude, and she was not a fan. And I guess I heard this from my mom that my grandma really tried to get people to catch on to Trudy. She thought Trudy would be a really cute alternative, but it just never happened for her. And so she was always Gert. And it was something I think, but I love her middle name, which was Isabel, German background. Mm. So it was I-S-O-B-E-L, which I thought was so pretty.
Like that name. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's so funny. Like it, and it is subjective. And so I kind of like that advice of just kind of like go with the flow, right? Go with what you like.
If you love the name, your kid will love it too. You know what I mean? I think my dad never really liked being Gene. And apparently his older sister got to name him. And so they were like, pick a name. And she picked Jean. And so I think maybe that bothered him that it was just like, oh, they let my five-year-old sister name me. I don't know at the time when she was five. But now, you know, my sister actually used Jean in one of her son's middle names. And my sister has the feminine version of it in her middle name. And I have a name Ewan inspired from Jean. And I think he's liking it more and more, you know, when there's some like special ties to your name, you can't help but love it.
Totally. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, and for me personally, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here because I'm Haley, H-A-Y-L-E-Y. My mom loved Haley Mills in The Parent Trap, right?
Yes. Okay.
So, now when I go to, let's say, Starbucks and I say my name, it's written as, you know, Haley Bieber, right? Because it's like the millennials or the Gen Zers writing it out H-A-I-L-E-Y. So I'm like, I'll take it.
There are quite a few spellings of the name, but yeah, it's just like Megan's and Avery's and there's so many, but yes, that is funny.
So when we talk about, you know, standing out and kind of being individual and going with the name you love, it's funny because you can think that you picked, you know, the most, you know, bizarre, whatever, old school special name, but this is exactly how trends go, right? It ebbs and flows. So we're recording this in the first half of 2023. So Steph, what are some of the names that are kind of topping the trend list right now? And why do you think that is?
So right now, astronomy and space inspired names are really popular. Like we talked about Aurora, but like Atlas, or Greek mythology too, where a lot of those kind of overlap with astronomy and mythology. So like Atlas and Apollo, Luna is a huge popular name right now. Like everybody knows a Luna and it's great, but it's something that just kind of popped up recently in the last, maybe 5 years or so. I also have predicted that I am seeing more of people interested in these and asking in their name consultations, like asking for more dark and moody names. And those are on the rise. Names like Evander or Lilith or Ophelia, Zephyr, all of those, you know, they've got that like kind of dark tone to them where they have a darker meaning. But they're also kind of romantic sounding. So that's kind of a huge thing. And then trends that we have seen in the last year or so that are still popular, people going with nicknames as first names. So they're skipping the long version and they're just going to Trudy instead of Gertrude. Or, you know, like I love Rosie as a full name instead of Rosemary or Rosalie or just plain Rose or Primrose. You could just go with Rosie. If you're going to call them that, I think it's adorable and very wearable. And then also vintage names. It's just everybody loves vintage names right now. And I feel like that's going to be a long living trend.
Okay. So what's a vintage name?
So, I mean, Silas is a vintage name.
Okay. You know what? I'll tell you about this because as I told you, right, I had a ton of girl names. We're looking for boy names. And I'm also very big on, like, I love language. I love words, right? Play on words. So there's a lot of names that just couldn't work for me because they rhymed with something else, or, you know what I mean? They elicited an imagery that I didn't like, or I had an association. So like, it was tough. And I did the whole, let's go to a nameless thing. And I'm going down the list. And side note, I'd lived in Greece for a couple of years and years ago. And my partner, though, he's from England. So I couldn't really pitch him the name like Stavro or something, right?
Our
little translucent blonde baby boy. But I'm reading these names and I see Silas and I'm like, So I look up the origin because, again, I completely agree, right? I need to know the meaning of it. And it's Greek Latin. It's, as you know, right? It's biblical kind of times. Yep. It means man of the trees or man of the forest. Well, he was due in September. So he was a Virgo. So he was an earth sign. And, you know, kind of all of those things came together. But first and foremost, we really love the name, right? I loved how it sounded. I like S's. I like the, you know.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a great sound. Yep.
So you would classify Silas, I guess, as a vintage name because it predates, you know.
Yeah. So if you look on the Social Security website for baby names for the U.S., we have data, they have data starting back at 1900. And I did look up Silas, and it has been part of the top 1000 since 1900. And it's had some years where it's more popular and some years where it's less popular, but it is getting popular again. Still, it's like, I think it was 91 in 2021, which is what our last year of data.
Okay. So I'm not as original as I thought, but that's okay. Like, I either get the reaction of like, oh, what a cool name, or like, what? And so when I'm at the doctor's, it often gets called like Silas. And I'm like, it's Silas, you know? So it's fun, the pronunciations. I would never have expected it to be. Yeah. So I kind of feel like people really, really like it and think it's super cool and they've never heard it before. Or they're kind of like, where'd you get that?
Well, that is so interesting. Cause one of my name consultant friends on TikTok, her name is Morgan, and she collects vintage yearbooks, and she does a lot more with vintage names. And she was talking about how popular names now are not as popular as they were, like even in the 80s when I was born, right? So there's so many more names. So even if your kid's name is in the top 100, that still means there's not as many people with that name as there were 20 years ago, right? It's just, there's so many more names now and so many more variations. So
totally. Well, and you can name, like, a name really can be anything, you know, like
it really can.
Gwyneth Paltrow, obviously, remember when she had Apple?
And that, yes.
Khloe
yes.
Kardashian has True. Like, I love that type of so name.
Virtue names are super cute.
So when people come to you, Steph, and how do you help someone pick a name, basically? Like, what information do they need to provide to you so you can give them informed suggestions?
So I need to know kind of what their vibes are, their criteria. I have a list and you get to check, like, I try to keep people to about five because you got to be narrowed down a little bit, but there's like traditional or vintage or uncommon, out of the top 100, whimsical, stuff like that. Or if you want nature inspired, do you want mythology? I ask for like their criteria of like, are we trying to honor somebody? Number one thing that people come to me for is they want something more uncommon than they're finding. Now, we all use the same internet, right? Like, I don't have any special websites that I go to, except that I do it like daily almost. So I do have searches that I might get more unique stuff. And I also have the ability, which has been coming in handy, to think outside the box. So when people want to honor a grandpa's name, like let's say they want to honor a Nelson, but in a feminine way, like I'm able to kind of see all the different variations because I don't have a strict or narrow view on names. So then I can offer like, we'll try this. And so I think people are going for that kind of creativity. And also there is something called, you know, like research fatigue of like, I can't look at another name because when it's your kid, there's a lot more at stake and it's stressful. And you can be like, I want him to have a special name. And so going to someone objective and saying, okay, can you help me? I want something uncommon, or I have to honor this person, or I want to subtly incorporate my love of travel into my kid's name. That's what they come to me for. I also, like, I say, okay, what names are a no? Because before, like a while ago, I had somebody say, oh, you suggested one of our, you know, cousin kid names that we can't use or whatever. And I was like, okay, that's a great thing to add. Thank you for that feedback.
Yeah. I'm not a mind reader here.
Exactly. So I was like, oh, that's smart. Like, what are the definite no's in the family so that I don't accidentally suggest that? And then I also ask for their name inspiration, because that tells me a lot about what people like when I hear like, okay, we're considering the name Margot, or we're considering the name Eleanor. Okay. So they like cool vowel sounds or vintage names or whatever. I can hear a lot from that. Or if they like something really interesting, like I just did a video on my TikTok about somebody who named her kid Spider. You know, really? She's like a influencer. Her partner was a football player and he died and his last name was Webb and his nickname was Spider, in honor of that, which I think is lovely. And I know people are like, what? Spider Webb? It's very on the nose. It's very literal. But, you know, I always encourage people in my videos and stuff to find something interesting or something they like about a name, because it's not your kid's name. And instead of the response of what I get a lot of is, oh, that kid's going to get bullied. That's, to me, we can't control that. And kids get bullied for things out of their control all the time. But we should be teaching our kids not to bully other children for differences, instead of trying to all fit in the same box so that we don't get bullied. Does that make
sense?
Well,
absolutely. And yeah, your name can be Matt or Ben, or, you know, and still you'll be picked on for something. Well, there's another TikTok creator that I've kind of seen doing the rounds, and I guess, and you would, I'm sure, know this, but she named her daughter Cozy, I believe, or was it her son, Cozy?
Yeah, I don't remember, but I do remember the video and people were making fun of it on a different
podcast. Yeah, but I think Cozy's quite cute, and I think it's C-O-Z-Y. It's kind of names like that, that they do get your attention, and you kind of sit up and you think, oh, that's cool. Things are a lot different now. And I love the kind of the freedom and the, you know, creativity that you can have. Okay. So you've talked a little bit about how you can help with the process. And then do you get people, I would hope, like following up with you and saying like, hey, we, you know, chose your name and we love it and it matches perfectly. Do you get that type of feedback?
I do a minimal amount. I won't lie. It is, I think it's hard for people to come back because oftentimes I get the, I'm newly pregnant and I'm so excited to use your services and I want to hear what you would suggest for us. And so I think months later, it's hard to remember, but I do get messages of like, I chose this name. Caris is a Welsh name that means love. And somebody chose Caris with but they changed it from a C to a K, but they still took it off of the list that I gave them. And I love hearing that. Like, it's so fun. I also do video requests on my TikTok, and sometimes people will say, these are our favorites from the video. These are what we really like and we're looking at. And I do get some feedback, but I think it is difficult to remember to come back. I do ask that, like, hey, I always want to hear, even if you don't pick from my list, that's okay. Because sometimes my job is to help guide you to a new place so that you find your name, right? I don't take it personally, and I don't ever assume that, like, just because you went to a name consultant that you have to choose one of my names. I just look at it like I'm part of a small part of your naming process or your naming journey. And I'm so honored to be a part of that.
For sure. And now you said uncommon and whimsical word names are, you're seeing an upward tick of that. Can you give some examples of that for, you know, anyone listening who maybe that's their vibe and that's what they're leaning towards?
I love whimsical. That's my bread and butter. Like if you want an uncommon or whimsical name, you come to me because I just love them. And unfortunately, I always joke that my husband lacks whimsy, so I would never get to use these names. I know. But some of my current faves are this name you're seeing everywhere. And I think it's so gorgeous. Caspian for a boy. I also love Dashiell, and he could go by Dash. One of my new favorite, I would probably give to a girl, but I think it's super gender neutral. Also, gender neutral names are really big right now. I forgot for a trend. Meridian. I think it's so cool and so whimsical. I love Orla because I love an O name for a little girl, and Orla means golden princess. So love it. I love the name Story. I really wanted to name a daughter Story, and my husband was not on board, but I still maintain it is a gorgeous name. And then like Windsor, Winslet, also surnames as first names. I'm just obsessed. I love a good surname as first name.
I love that too. Yeah. It sounds very cool. I have a friend of a friend, and I guess they had, I think, 3 or 4 kids, and they went to the phone book, you know, when phone books existed, they literally opened the book. They picked, I think they had a letter in mind, and they went down the pages and they picked. So all their kids have last names, surnames as first names, love them all. Cause I remember when she said, oh, my friend, I'm like, oh, what cool names. And then she told that story. And I was like, we named our dog out of the phone book, Riley.
I love that. I love that story. Like, I think that's fantastic. I think that's so cool. And a story like that is something your kids will connect with and say, I was named out of the phone book back in what year, you know, phone books were still around. That is
exactly
amazing.
Yeah. No, this has been great, Steph. And when you mention about genderless names, you've actually written a book called Names Don't Have a Gender, right? So
yes,
you have a unique and inclusive way to find the perfect name. So, you know, if it is a concern when we're talking about going into school or the job market or whatever it is, you don't have to go hyper masculine or hyper feminine.
No. Mm-mm. In my book, I group everything by uncommon or popular, because some names you just want something a little more popular, but not necessarily. I don't want to tell people this should be for a girl or a boy. I'll tell you kind of my preference for the name, but people surprise me all the time. There's a really beautiful name, Bellamy, that a lot of people use for boys, and it is a gender neutral name. I just love it on girls, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's so cute either way. And I just don't like to say, oh, this has to be a girl name or this has to be a boy name.
Right. Okay. Well, before we go, if you don't mind, I would love your thoughts. Not that, you know, anyone listening, mom, you especially, like, no plans for a second, but let's say one day Silas has a little brother, sister, whatever, we can go gender neutral. So he's Silas James. What do you think, in your professional opinion, would match well with that name?
All right. I love Silas. It's gorgeous. Yeah. And we talked about it's been ranking. So I'd classify it as like a biblical or vintage name, and also nature inspired because it means, you know, of the forest. For boys, I picked Jonah or Levi. Ooh. For the biblical. So Silas and Jonah, Silas and Levi. And then for like the more nature kind of quirky ones, I've got Elwood. I think that would be adorable. And also kind of the wood, Elwood. And then I've got Nash, which I think is so cute. Otto.
Yeah, okay.
And Roman. Silas and Roman. Oh, so handsome. And then for girls, I like Alma or Edith. Silas and Edith. Hazel, so cute. Hazel with that Z sound. Love it.
Yeah. And my last name is Zimak, mind you. And you would not have know this. My cousin's daughter's name is Hazel, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah,
I love the Z.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And then I also really like to kind of the juxtaposition of his name being like a forest name. You could do like a water name for a little girl with like Marin or Marnie, which means sparkling and sea, stuff like that. So like Silas and Marnie, so cute. And that's kind of a nickname as a first name. And then I also really like Willow. I think that would be a really lovely compliment with Silas.
Ooh, I like that. Silas and Willow. Cute. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if and when, Steph, I promise I'll follow up with you.
Yes, please do.
No, that's so great. Like I've loved our conversation. I love your videos because I really appreciate like the thought and the effort and the time and the research that
you
put behind, you know, your suggestions. I just find it so interesting and like, what a cool job to have. So kudos to you. Is there anything else that you think is important for this conversation or for us to know when doing that almighty task of naming your newborn baby? Because you know what, when you look at that little face, yeah, it's hard to think, you will have a proper name. Like we have a million and one nicknames for him. And it's only now when he wasn't like answering to his name. I'm like, hey guys, we got to call him Silas, right? He can't be like Biddles or Whittles or Cutie or Judy anymore. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I just think that it is a lot of pressure. So if you feel like it's a big deal to actually name a baby, that's true. When you're not pregnant or you're not adopting or whatever, you're like, oh, there's all these names I love. But there is a sense of pressure when baby is coming. And so I think just to remind yourself that like, if you love it, you're not going to pick the wrong name. And, you know, go for something that you love, something that makes you happy, something that makes you smile every time you say the name out loud. And really sit with names for a day or so before you decide. And also my best advice is I go to the hospital with a short list. So you pick 3 to 5 names that you love. And then when you meet your baby, you can narrow it down and say, okay, they are this.
Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please download, subscribe, follow, and share. Until next time.